Let me tell you about a place. Chances are you've been. It's a place with many rooms, full of people from all walks of life, litigators and line cooks, architects and activists, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. They do not come by choice, but out of emergency. Some needs are common, others more urgent. In one room, there is relief and levity. In the next room, a devastating diagnosis is delivered. And for every time someone miraculously pulls through, another person dies. It is the last place you want to be, but it might be the only place that can help you. The place I'm talking about, of course, is church. That's called a gotcha moment. There are many metaphors for church in the Bible: a boat, a house, a vineyard, a flock. But the church's best working analogy is a hospital for sinners. The two have plenty in common. Both are last resorts. You only go there when there is nowhere else to go. And most people don't like being in either hospitals or church, and for plenty of reasons. But to that, I would say, it all depends on who your doctor is. Now, to be clear, don't mistake the white collar for a white coat. I'm not your doctor. I'm patient zero. Trust me, you don't want me or Paul Walker, for that matter, stitching you up. The doctor, of course, is Jesus. He says so himself in today's gospel reading. Let's take another look. The passage introduces us to a man named Matthew, who is a tax collector. Now, tax collectors were Jewish citizens who worked for the Roman or the evil empire. They took their own people's hard-earned money just to give it to Caesar's slush fund. And then they skimmed off the top for their own personal gain. Tax collectors were traitors and cheats, shunned by their families, banned from any house of worship, and deemed so untrustworthy that they were not allowed to give testimony in court. But Jesus, conducting the worst job interview of all time, walks up to this bad seed, Matthew, and says, "Tag, you're it. Follow me." And maybe it was a slow day at work. It doesn't say. But for some reason, Matthew gets up and follows Jesus. And the scene cuts to dinner at Matthew's house, which is full of riffraff and ne'er-do-wells. And by this point, the Pharisees, the pious religious leaders, are freaking out. They ask the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? He's setting a bad example. Think of what this says to children." And overhearing the Pharisees from across the room, Jesus answers the question directly. No triangulation. He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." You see, Jesus taps Matthew not because he fits the bill for a good disciple, but because Matthew is in need of care. This is a house call. And what sets Jesus the physician apart is how he provides a personalized treatment plan. To be clear, the church is at best a struggling hospital. It has always been and always will be flawed and inefficient. And just like healthcare, everyone has a theory about how to fix it. But fixing the system has never been this physician's priority. The priority is the patient. "Tell me where it hurts," he says. And instead of a stethoscope, a listening ear. Instead of painkillers, a comforting word. Jesus is not going to tell you that you need to eat better or exercise more. This is not preventative care. It's too late for that. He knows that if you were able to save yourself, you already would have. In fact, the one instruction he has for you is to be still. Now, imagine a situation where you need acute care. You've probably been here before. You need to get stitches or a bone reset or an epidural. And you are anxious and in pain. But imagine that your doctor is calm, kind, competent. He explains that what is about to happen is going to hurt, but that it is a necessary step. Your job in this moment is not to heal yourself or to be ashamed of your need or to instruct the doctor as to how to do his job. Your job is to be still, to move as little as possible. Now, as people, we are so hell-bent on health and wellness that being still does not even feel like an option. WebMD keeps us plenty busy. Likewise, fitness is next to godliness. Being still feels too much like death. But God has no use for your fitness. He does not care for your six-pack abs. He wants your knee pain, your torn Achilles, your asthma. Likewise, your virtue just leaves him unemployed. He wants your weakness, your fear, your sin. Being in the business of mending things, he is only interested in what is broken. And so, as T.S. Eliot once wrote, the whole world is a hospital. From Matthew the tax collector, who has been poisoned by greed and ambition, to the Pharisees, who are plagued with self-righteousness, the doctor tends to the specific malady of each patient. And where are you sick? Addiction, resentment, anxiety, self-pity, pride, regret. If there's nothing wrong with you, I'm not really sure why you're here. You don't go to a hospital to show off how healthy you are. It's actually kind of rude. Your deepest hurts, you see, the things that you are embarrassed about, the things you want to hide, are the very places the doctor needs to go. And if you're looking for a cure, first comes the diagnosis. You cannot be healed unless you are sick. You cannot be comforted unless you mourn. You cannot be forgiven unless you have sinned. And yet, to our surprise, and by the grace of God, hope comes from the wound sometimes. You may have read the book When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanithi, who was an accomplished neurosurgeon and diagnosed with terminal lung cancer at the age of 36, shortly after having his first daughter. And in the epilogue of this book, his wife Lucy depicts how his illness affected their marriage, which was going through some problems. Both spouses working around the clock as highly respected doctors. And Lucy writes, "His cancer diagnosis was like a nutcracker, getting us back into the soft, nourishing meat of our marriage. We each joked to close friends that the secret to saving a relationship is for one person to become terminally ill. Conversely, we knew that one trick to managing a terminal illness is to be deeply in love, to be vulnerable, kind, generous, grateful." You and I have a chronic illness called sin. We were born with it, and sadly, it will be the cause of death for each of us. You cannot put a Band-Aid on it. The cures we offer are only temporary. The soul's maladies have their relapses, just like the bodies. The only thing that will truly heal us is a heart transplant. You see, the great physician's ultimate treatment plan is to take your place on the gurney. By his wounds, we are healed. By his death, we have been given eternal life. There's a story in Anne Lamott's book, Bird by Bird, about an 8-year-old boy whose sister had leukemia and needed a blood transfusion. And after a blood test, it became apparent that the boy's blood was compatible with his sister's blood type. So his parents asked if he would give his sister a pint of blood, explaining that it could be her only chance of living. He said he would have to think about it overnight. And this is what Anne Lamott writes. The next day, he went to his parents and said he was willing to donate the blood. So they took him to the hospital, where he was put on a gurney beside his 6-year-old sister. Both of them were hooked up to IVs. The boy lay on his gurney in silence while the blood dripped into his sister, until the doctor came over to see how he was doing. And then the boy opened his eyes and asked, "How soon until I start to die?" Now, obviously, this boy did not fully understand what was being asked of him. Jesus, however, the great physician, did. Rather than simply medicate our wounds, he gave his blood, shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins and the cure of souls. Consider yourself post-op, but in recovery. And what is his prescription? One sip by mouth, once a week, as needed. Or by intinction, which is when you dip the wafer, whatever, you know what I mean. I'll close with the powerful lyrics of one of the songs we sing here. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus, ready, stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. He is able. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. Amen.